ISU alumni see their Peace Corps service trips cut short because of the coronavirus.
I was absolutely devastated. We had many projects planned.
That's Brad Kristen. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Monday, April 6th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with two Illinois State University grads learning to adapt after COVID-19 halted their Peace Corps trips. More from Eric Stock.
The economic shutdown caused by the coronavirus brought life to a screeching halt for many, but for two recent ISU graduates serving on international Peace Corps missions, their worlds were turned upside down. Zoe Anmundson and Brad Kristen are both back in the United States in self-quarantine after their environmental sustainability missions were cut short by the global pandemic. Kristen spent 18 months in Paraguay before the global Peace Corps evacuations, but felt he was just getting started.
Unfortunately, Paraguayans did not really have an awareness of what was going on in the world. Many people did not even hear of climate change. They didn't know what it was.
Kristen set up a Jeopardy tournament for ninth graders and arranged a waste management competition among schools before he was forced to leave 9 months early.
I was absolutely devastated. We had many projects planned. There was a lot of people depending on me to improve the environmental education.
Now staying with his parents under quarantine in Highland, California, Kristen is entering a job market in which few are hiring. For Amundsen, her Peace Corps mission ended soon after it started. She was recalled from Panama 3 weeks into her training for what was supposed to be a two-year experience in the Central American country. Amundsen says she has lots of time now to reflect as she continues her quarantine back home, but she wants to reapply to return to Panama, not knowing when or if that chance will come.
For me, it seems pretty straightforward. I still want to do Peace Corps, and I will absolutely hold out for that program.
Amundsen may be forced to choose a career path sooner than she had expected.
Flexibility and adaptability are going to be key in this process.
Amundsen and Kristen were among 20 Illinois State University alumni among the more than 7,000 Peace Corps volunteers sent home due to the pandemic. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were no new confirmed cases of COVID-19 yesterday in McLean County. It comes after 9 straight days of additional people testing positive. There are 44 cases locally. The drive-up testing site at Bloomington's Interstate Center has loosened its criteria for who can be tested. Now, anyone with symptoms and healthcare workers and first responders without symptoms can all be tested there. And Governor J.B. Pritzker announced that all essential workers will now qualify for the state's child care assistance program. There are at least 10 emergency child care options still open in McLean County. See more on these stories and our daily blog at WGLT.org/coronavirus. Maps of new coronavirus cases last week showed the areas of the country in which leaders have been reluctant to issue shelter-in-place orders are also mostly Republican-led areas, which have followed President Trump's early stance that the virus was less of a big deal than the world-spanning pandemic it turned out to be. Those are also areas in which COVID-19 cases are ramping up. Charlie Schlenker reports the maps illustrate a historical truth where there is divided political narrative on healthcare issues, public learning drops like a rock.
History shows the rhetoric surrounding a public health crisis affects what people know about it, their behavior, and the outcome.
A lot of motivated behavior. People learn what they want to learn.
Illinois Wesleyan University political scientist Greg Shaw says it matters a lot. Shaw specializes in healthcare policy. He says people need to be given a reason to want to absorb health information, and that's where politics enters.
It's not a question of necessarily of capacity, but of will.
Shaw says there are two broad categories of historical example. In the first, the public understands the measures taken to combat a crisis as unambiguous good. Take polio in the 1950s. Shaw says people learned about the vaccine, believed public health officials, and cases dropped fast. It was so not political, President Dwight Eisenhower offered the vaccine to the Soviet Union. You can argue that was a different, less divided time, right? But Shaw says the 1990s were certainly divided, and a proposed action to address babies dying from sudden infant death syndrome had a good outcome when parents believed the American Academy of Pediatricians, and the SIDS death rate dropped by half.
And they got the message out that parents really need to put their kids to bed without all sorts of fluffy blankets and on their backs. So here's a tremendous success.
And here's the second kind of historical example, when there is a divided narrative. The AIDS crisis of the 1980s. Shaw says President Ronald Reagan didn't lead on the issue. He didn't mention it in public for 5 years. The religious right filled the vacuum with a narrative that AIDS was divine retribution for alleged immoral behavior. And Shaw says there were consequences to public learning and behavior for an entire decade.
And what do you find? That no better than coin toss do Americans correctly say that you don't get AIDS from toilet seat.
When there is a partisan divide, Shaw says people ignore the information that doesn't fit their basic worldview. Fast forward to the Affordable Care Act and what people actually learned about it.
Democrats beat Republicans on virtually every positive benefits of the law. However, Republicans beat Democrats on a couple of the Achilles heels of the law, principally the individual mandate.
Shaw says this divide is happening with the coronavirus pandemic, too. Urban residents, Democrats, and women, he says, are likely taking public health advice very seriously. Rural people and Republicans, poll show, have been later to accept the idea of a need to shelter in place.
And to the extent that Trump gets out and reinforces that by saying in January, February, this is not going to become a pandemic, this is not a big deal, in fact, goes to South Carolina in late February and says, this is the Democrats' new hoax. Right, that reinforces a predisposition of rural people could have been tipped the other way.
Shaw says friends of the president have also waged a social media war against Dr. Anthony Fauci, a leading expert voice on the pandemic.
It is both something that has cost us lives already and that will continue to, so long as we are not heeding good, solid information about how to minimize transmission.
Shaw says he wants Republicans to pay attention to the health experts and reputable journalism, and to caution Democrats not to discount the impact of the pandemic response on lives and the economy. He says people need to accept the idea that it's not I love Trump or I hate Trump, but that things might be more nuanced than that. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
You can read the rest of that interview at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the Normal Town Council meets tonight at 7, virtually, of course. On the agenda is a COVID-19 economic report from EDC CEO Patrick Hoban. If you like listening to this podcast, here's a new way to do it. We have an Alexa flash briefing skill set up for the show, so you can queue it up each morning on your smart speaker. However you're listening, thank you. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.